Friday, November the 17th, 2017. It is 8 a.m. I'd like to call the meeting of the Fish and Wildlife Commission to order. A couple things I'd like to say, first of all, is good morning and happy Thanksgiving to all on the call and listening. And two bits of business here is that we cannot discuss any content of our previous executive sessions on this call. Second part is we have two sets of minutes, one for 10:27:17 and one for 11:14:17 when we get to that item. Joe, would you like to introduce the staff on board?
Yes, Mr. Vice Chair. We're here at the Natural Resources Building in Olympia with Director Unsworth, Randy Thurston, Nate Pamplin, Jeff Davis, Evan Yett, Mick Cope, and Peter Burney. Everybody say hello.
Hello. Hello. Good morning, commissioners.
Wait, Nate, Good morning, all. Well, that being the case, if there are no other introductions, we'll move into agenda item A, which is the HPA rulemaking, and this is a briefing.
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair. This is Jeff Davis. Maybe I'll kick it off and have Randy walk you through kind of the high level. We just want to keep this on your radar, so I'm hoping this morning really is like a high-level briefing from us to you. And I say that because we're already on tap for the formal meeting in April to give you a presentation of the HPA rulemaking, and you're slated right now for a June decision. So we have time. You also, as part of this, Trout Unlimited submitted a petition to you all, and that's you have that on your schedule for January meeting. And so, you know, there's some a lot of kind of cleanup, admin cleanup in the rulemaking that we're proposing, and Randy will walk us through that. But also, you all have talked in the past about the differing perspectives on suction dredge mining, and so we want to make sure that we're being pretty diligent about, you know, a lot of public involvement, so that you can hear from everyone about this rulemaking, but also on the more specifically the suction dredging. So we're hoping again to just kind of really quickly step through a real high elevation overview, and then look forward to staying connected with you as we move forward, both on the petition and our proposed rulemaking.
Any commissioners have any comments on that?
This is Commissioner Graybill. There is reference in some of your notes about continuing litigation. Is that the suit by the counties, by several counties, on HPA?
Yeah, so we have, great question, we have multiple litigations going on. We are being sued by the mineral prospectors for multiple rulemakings. We are also being sued by Cascadia Wildlands, and their suit is very similar to the Trout Unlimited petition that you saw for rulemaking, and we are being sued by the counties on the HPA jurisdiction and some of the rule language around jurisdiction. So for us, it, you know, there's a little bit of we're in court. we're probably going to have to be sensitive about what we talk about because we're in court and those cases are moving forward. So for us, it's let's see what the court says, and then we'll have to do rulemaking if necessary to adapt to what the legal findings were in those cases.
Vice Chair, may I ask a question?
Yes, Kim, go ahead, please.
So you said we're being sued by the prospectors. Is there a new suit, or are you referring to the one that had the decision and we're still waiting to hear whether the judge has accepted our action based on that decision?
There actually is an ongoing litigation. That is part of it. but it's essentially Cascadia Wildlands and the mineral prospectors are suing us for the same issues from their different perspectives.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chair, this is Barbara Baker. Could I ask a quick question? Hello.
Mr. Chair.
Larry, are you there? Well, Barbara, this is Brad. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Just quickly, Jeff, when I was looking at the summary of this issue that you all sent to us, you noted that that you were meeting with key stakeholders and the tribes on November 14th, and also that WASDOT, the Department of Transportation, has requested a meeting. As you go through this, could you let us know kind of who you met with and what issues they raised, and also what the Department of Transportation wants to meet about?
Sure.
Yeah. So we met on the 14th with our citizen advisory group, which is a group made up of folks with that represent different organizations, both on the regulatory and environmental side. So we went through the rule changes with them. Didn't get a lot. This is Randy Thurston, by the way. I'm sorry. I should have introduced myself. We didn't get a lot of questions and comments from them. The same day we met with the stakeholder, legislative stakeholder group that was meeting last year on the HPA legislation. We basically got in that meeting several representatives from Trout Unlimited, some prospectors, people from City of Seattle, PUDs. No tribal representatives came, but again, walked them through what we're proposing now as changes. I got some questions and comments, a couple requests for minor wording changes, but we didn't get a lot of concerns raised from those from the folks at the table. But again, we were just looking at what we had originally proposed for rulemaking.
And DOT, Randy?
Oh, DOT, I'm sorry, yeah. DOT asked to meet. They didn't really express any particular concern that they wanted to meet on. I think sometimes they just like to be briefed on what's going on in general. So I'm going to go over and do that in December.
So, Randy, do you want to walk through this?
Yeah. So, again, because of the ongoing litigation, we wanted to keep the scope and scale of this rulemaking small. We know we needed to do rulemaking because we have an emergency rule on the Salton River that changed the authorized work time for mineral prospecting. And to keep that going, we had to do rulemaking. So we decided to take the opportunity to make some other changes that we felt were minor and hopefully non-controversial. And those included removing language related to the fees because our ability to charge the $150 fee sunsetted last year, last July, and we do have language in there. We wanted to do a couple of things that we thought would be helpful for permittees. One would be to have the ability for folks to transfer a permit from one person to another. The other thing is right now, if your permit is inactive for 6 months, we can't close it. We extended that to 12 months and then gave an option of a permittee asking for, an applicant asking for another year so that we weren't closing those too soon. And then we do have people that have easements. We have to have a landowner signature so our folks have permission to go on site to do their work. And rather than, we decided that we should accept the easements in lieu of landowner signatures because getting the signature from a landowner when a person had an easement was causing a workload issue for them and a problem for them. So that's a change that we are proposing to make. The other, another change that we're making as a request of our AAG is clarifying when the department can revoke an HPA. We have had a third-party appellant who requests that we revoke permits on a regular basis, and we don't have rules for that, so we've added rules for that. And then one additional work window change to the mineral prospecting work windows was to add a month to the scomilkamine for the prospectors working under the goldfish pamphlet. Fish program staff and habitat staff surveyed the section of the scomilkamine and determined that it's not suitable for rainbow trout spawning, so that we could give prospectors an extra month there. Those are really kind of a highlight of what the changes are that are proposed.
And then the critical piece of kind of initiating all of this opportunity is the Solden River timing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, if folks don't know, the PUD provided fish passage over one of their diversion structures that now has Puget Sound Chinook, Coho, and Steelhead. Both the Steelhead and Chinook are listed. And what we had before there was fish passage were trout windows. Mm-hmm. And so we've been doing a series of two emergency work windows or rules in order to protect those listed species or anatomy, and now we're kind of at that place where we have to make it permanent or revert back to the trout windows.
Very good. I apologize. I was stuck on mute there for a minute, but I'm back with you. So any other questions or comments of anyone?
This is Kim.
This is Thorburn.
The revocation provision, that seems a little bit more major to me than just housekeeping. I is curious. I presume we've revoked permits in the past, and this is just being very clear about when and how is.
Yeah, that is correct. The statute gives us the authority to approve or deny, and it's implied that we have the ability to revoke as well. And we do have some language in the statute that's specific to revoking. But again, this was a change that our attorney requested,
yeah,
so that's why we're making it now.
So maybe I can clarify a little bit. So our authority to revoke is really based on new scientific information. And so some of the examples that Randy referred to where there's a revocation request is from a third-party appellant saying, hey, I got a better deal out of the Corps of Engineers in NOAA, so you need to revoke your HPA. So what we're really trying to do is clarify, well, we can revoke, but the statutory authority says it has to be based on new scientific information or new information that would better inform protection of fish life, not this third-party appellant went and put pressure on NOAA to get a better deal, and now they want our HPA out of the way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you'll see, you probably noticed in the language, you know, we do have language in there. If there's a court decision or a decision from the PCHB that requires us to revoke an HPA, that could be a reason to revoke the HPA. The new biological information is in there as one of the reasons. Sometimes a permittee will get a second permit for a project for some reason, and so we want the ability to revoke the first permit if that happens. Typically, what will happen is they'll forget that they have the original permit, or they decide to change the project and the first permit's still active. So some housekeeping things like that. So if a permittee requests that we revoke it, that is another reason why we revoke an HPA. But
I think it's really important to state too that the way we're engaging with the stakeholders on this is just with the value of, hey, here's some things that we think will benefit the mm-hmm. customers.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some things that are administrative cleanups, and if there are things like the revocation mm-hmm. piece that is controversial, then it doesn't necessarily have to be included in the CR 102. Mm-hmm. So we're talking with those folks about, like Randy said, the draft 102 language to get a reaction to see what actually stays in potentially for your consideration and how we can edit it to make it a little smoother process when it does come to you. And
yeah, the feedback I got on that section at the legislative stakeholder meeting was there's language in there that will notify the permittee if we're going to revoke the permit. Can you put language in there that says we'll notify before you revoke the permit with the reason why you're considering that? It is an agency action, so it would be appealable.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions from the commission?
This is Dave Graybill.
Yeah, Dave.
We had a representative from the prospector at our last meeting during the public comment period, and he had some objections to some of the time frames. And I'm trying to remember if that was related to the Sultan area. And it seems like he was didn't feel like that this passage was sufficient to allow fish to move upstream there. Is that correct, Jeff?
I don't recall the specific public testimony, but we have actual PUD data and our own observations of those fish actually spawning. This is the second year that they have been spawning up there. So pretty good data to suggest we need to adjust our work window.
Jeff,
the conflict really is these folks have these claims, right? And this triggers us having to go out there with them and say, within this claim, you can work these areas. So I get the rub. We also are working with some pretty reasonable prospectors or leadership in the prospecting community on both the Sultan and the Similkameen. So where we can get them the flexibility that they're seeking, we're absolutely out there on the ground trying to get that. And some of these folks wish that we weren't regulating them at all, right? So we're going to have folks that just aren't going to be satisfied.
Sure.
Could you repeat, Jeff, this is Larry Carpenter, the calendar of events between now and April on this item?
Sure. So you are going to, according to your schedule, be talking about the Trout Unlimited petition on January 5th. I do want to highlight that that's day 54 of your 60-day decision period. So it's likely going to be a conference call decision on that, but you will get the prospectors and the environmental community showing up probably starting December. You'll get hit pretty heavily in January for public testimony on that piece. And then in April, we come to you at your April meeting, and again, there'll be public comment, and we'll present in more specific detail kind of what the CR 102 proposal is that you're considering. And then at your June meeting, you're slated for a decision on the rules.
Very good. Thank you. Uh-huh. Any other comments on HPA rulemaking?
This is Kim again. So hypothetically, if we decide to proceed with the petition, so will that add additional rulemaking that can be plugged into this C-101 and 102, or will that start a second process? Just a hypothetical, but to understand how that would impact the timeline.
Yeah, so great question. Based on the timeline, based on how we open the rules up, I think if you accepted the petition, we would have to get to work on drafting rule language that would address the pieces of the petition to be rolled into this rulemaking effort.
Yeah. in addition, this is Randy, because these are significant legislative rules, I could see like the scope of CEFA expanding from a determination of non-significance to a determination of significance, and we'd have to prepare an EIS. Certainly more of a, we'd have to do a much more substantial economic analysis. So I could see where it would push it out past June. I don't think we could get all that done in time.
Thank you, Randy.
Mm-hmm.
While we were on this item, someone else joined us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Larry. This is Don McIsaac. I have joined now. I came in about 8 minutes late, and I'd like to thank Tammy for all her multitasking to enable that. But for the record, I'm on.
Thank you, Don. Good to hear from you. Okay, we're